advertisement.
Wow.
We'll proceed to the next case, which is Thomas McDonald versus United States Railroad Retirement Board. Who's missing?
McDonald, I believe.
Who are you?
I'm
the petitioner. Oh, well, good. Are you Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Well, you're up.
I'm sorry, I...
You're your own lawyer, right?
Pardon?
You're your own lawyer. You are your own lawyer.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well,
hop to. We have been proceeding apace, Mr. McDonald. So. Get at it.
Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry. I'll do my best now.
Okay.
Proceed. If the court please. This is a matter that is now before the court, an appeal from the Railroad Retirement Board relating to the decision of a hearing officer in the full board affirming the decision without a hearing. Case involves petitioner's pension and railroad retirement Social Security. Over 30 years ago, the Social Security and Railroad Retirement found that petitioner was entitled to certain monthly benefits based solely on his respective earnings and contributions to each. When Railroad Retirement was informed of the Social Security,
Mr. McDonald.
Yes.
What do you see as your best argument?
Well, Your Honor, I was fully vested in Railroad Retirement and Social Security on December 31st of 1974, and Justice Rehnquist of the Supreme Court ruled that anybody who had my qualifications was entitled to just a minute. I haven't been here in over 15 years. And I
yeah, it must be a heck of a lot.
It must be
a heck of a lot. It's been going about the same way it always did.
It's a privilege to be here, and I was prepared a while back.
You worked 12.
Pardon me?
You worked what, 12 or 13 years as counsel for the railroad? Is that what your railroad experience was?
Yes, I was probably from 62 to 76.
And then you did something else where you accrued. Now, when you were working for the railroad, did you pay into Social Security? Or did you pay?
No,
you
no.
did not. So you were like judges at one time. You didn't have to pay Social Security, right?
I didn't have to pay Social Security.
Yeah,
so you were with the railroad.
Yeah, so that, and then later on you got a job where you're paying into Social Security, so you qualified for both. Is that right?
Yes, I left in 76, and I went with a law firm, and we paid Social Security, from then on.
So in effect, the government reframed the law because they're afraid of bankrupting the retirement system and the railroad, so that you couldn't get both, but there was a little overlap. What do they call that overlap that you get?
They indicate they use this term windfall benefit, and it bothers me in the sense that I worked for over 50 years and paid into both Social Security and railroad retirement, and then Justice Rehnquist in United States versus Railroad Retirement, the Fritz case, he found that an individual who has a changeover date was unretired and had 10 years of railroad employment and sufficient non-railroad employment to qualify for Social Security benefits is eligible for the full windfall amount. If he worked for the railroad in 1974, and had a current connection with the railroad as of December 31st, 1974.
But that's if he retired, isn't it, Mr. McDonald?
Pardon me?
That's if he retired, he would be entitled to both. I had retired by 74, but you didn't retire then, did you?
No, you didn't have to retire by 74.
Well, I was my understanding of what he said, that they were talking about those who had retired prior to 74, but were not affected by the change. But those that retired afterwards were.
Well, the... I was this is terrible.
You're telling me that it occurred by 74 is what you're saying.
Yes, I was vested in the whole as of December 31st, 1974. I continued to work for the railroad, and then I
when you practice law.
For 2 years, and then I left the railroad and went with a law firm, and then in...
Did they change the law at some point along the way?
Pardon me?
Did they change the law at some point along the way where...
No, it's still the 1974, they changed it, and the way Justice Rehnquist, his decision seems to apply to me. And
the board said it didn't.
Pardon me?
And the board said it didn't.
It didn't,
to
right,
me.
Yes. And in my brief, I indicated that the railroad retirement had four or five determinations that the petitioner had vested dual benefits. And then I mentioned in the last part of my brief that the only thing that seemed to be at issue was the amount of the award. And the railroad retirement took the full Social Security benefit of $800 and some and put it to the railroad retirement and deducted it. So
you said you couldn't get both, or you couldn't get the full amount of both.
Yeah, but Justice Rehnquist indicated in his decision to qualify an individual who, as of the changeover date, was unretired and had 10 years of railroad employment and sufficient non-railroad employment to qualify for Social Security benefits, is eligible for the full windfall amount if he worked for the railroad in 1974 or had a current connection with the railroad as of December 31st, 1974. And I had all of those. Then, as of the changeover date, December 31st, 1974, the petitioner was unretired, had 12 years of railroad employment, and sufficient non-railroad employment to qualify for Social Security benefits. Worked for the railroad in 1974, and also had a current connection with the railroad as of December 31st, 1974. It should be noted that Justice Rehnquist also stated that an individual with the above qualifications is eligible for the full windfall benefit.
He called it a windfall benefit.
Yes, yes.
Is that accurate?
Well, yes, it is.
Is it a windfall because you get, under that theory, you'd get full amount under the railroad retirement as well as full amount under Social Security?
I'm not sure what the windfall is, but
if someone had spent their whole career just in the railroad or didn't even get near the railroad and just got Social Security, they would not get both, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Eventually people working for the railroad have to start paying Social Security at some point, like judges did?
No, they're still...
They still are exempt?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the people who work for the Railroad Retirement Board are on Social Security.
Well, you're talking about people who work for the railroad.
Yeah, but the railroad people are still paying into railroad retirement. And that's...
Well, at some point, Congress saw fit to say that that's going to bankrupt the railroad retirement,
yes.
And they treated it as if everybody during that career time had at least had paid into Social Security, I guess. I don't know what the theory was. Maybe the government can tell us.
Yeah, that's what they say, and I think there's still in... have problems, but back in the early 70s, I was very close to almost everybody in the railroad industry, and I knew a number of people over at the Railroad Retirement Board and some of the union presidents, and they indicated that this 1974 Act, I was vested in that.
Okay.
Okay, and again, I apologize.
Okay, fine. Mr. Schumann?
Good morning, Your Honors. At the end of Mr. McDonald's brief, in his reply brief, he states at page 8 that he's met all the qualifications and he's entitled to an unreserved railroad retirement benefit rather than the reduction that is being applied now. I think he is misinterpreting what the law says with respect to what is a dual benefit and a windfall benefit. They're the same thing. It happens to be that the history of the legislation, which we mentioned in our brief at page 12, shows that the system was in financial trouble, and that in order to save the system, Social Security benefits would not be allowed to be received, along with a full railroad retirement benefit. Section 3M clearly provides a reduction in anyone's railroad retirement benefit that by the full amount of that person's Social Security benefit. The
now, did that law change somewhere along the line?
No, not with respect to the Section 3M of the Railroad Retirement Act.
Well, when was there a time when I don't exactly understand when this has been in effect as long as Social Security, I think, hasn't it, or longer?
Actually, longer.
Yeah. So at some point, was there a reconciliation where they said if you're on both, you only get part?
That's correct. The Railroad Retirement Act of 1974 took effect on January 1, 1975. And
now the fact that he was still working then, did that change? If he had retired at the end of 74, would he have been vested or whatever you call it?
He, as long as he had his 40 quarters of Social Security coverage, that was the grandfather provision that Congress decided for people who already had enough Social Security, and but for this legislation would have received both a full Social Security benefit and a full railroad retirement benefit. So the vested dual benefit was allowed in the computation.
McDonald did not qualify. He didn't meet that classification.
He did. He had enough Social Security coverage to...
That's his railroad retirement, so he could get both.
He can get both, but his railroad retirement would be reduced by the full amount of his Social Security benefit.
Then he can't get both.
The matter of semantics.
Well, it's a matter of math.
It's in lieu of his Social Security benefit, he gets the vested dual benefit. That's what the company
gets. What he gets is his railroad retirement and not Social Security. If he gets Social Security, he gets railroad retirement less the Social Security he gets, which means he doesn't make a full railroad retirement.
He gets his full Social Security, but his railroad retirement is reduced by the amount of his full Social Security.
Even though
he quite the fat, what it means.
Well, he gets the amount that he would get if he just had Social Security plus a little bit more.
Exactly.
Well, that is, and then that's quite a bit less than he would have gotten if he got both.
Yeah, the difference is
$805 a month.
The Fritz case is cited for the purpose that a full railroad retirement benefits should be paid to the petitioner. That's not what the Fritz case said. The Fritz case simply found that the provisions for the reduction in railroad retirement annuities is constitutional. This court supported that position in the Frock case.
You mean we went along with the Supreme Court?
Pardon?
You mean we went along with the Supreme Court?
Exactly.
Aren't we clever at it?
Are there a lot of people in Mr. McDonald's category?
Mr. McDonald is not the Lone Ranger. There are many, many people who have were entitled, at least they had enough Social Security credits at the end of 1974 to have had the windfall provision kick in. It is 2003. There are very, very few, if I would say very few applications now for railroad retirement benefits for people who would have been entitled at the beginning of January 1975.
Because at that time they had to be fully vested.
They had to have 40 quarters of railroad of
Social Security at that point.
Coverage, right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there are any further questions from the court, we rest.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Your time has expired, Mr. McDonald, so we'll take this case under advisement.
I don't think he can hear you.
Stand up, man. What your time has expired. You have to have, you had some 30 seconds, you got to add something, or are you done?
Yes, that's all I
have. Okay, good. It takes me taking under advisement.
Wait. He wanted the
30
seconds.
Oh, I thought you said you were done. Go ahead.
This is my worst experience.
Well, the next 15 years, and you'll realize what...
I've been a fortunate person, and it's, if I said... Justice Rehnquist found that anybody with my qualifications was entitled to the full windfall benefit. And then there's a footnote in the in his opinion, which sort of explains...
Which case is that you keep referring to?
It's the Fritz case.
It's the Supreme Court case, United States Railroad Retirement Board versus Fritz.
Right.
And he held this. And I'm qualified for that.
We'll read it carefully.
Pardon me?
We'll read it carefully. We'll scrutinize it.
Okay. All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And as they say, a case will be taken under advisement.